Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Schwabach.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Nightlight with Pete Schwabach here, broadcasting statewide all over our beautiful state from our downtown Green Bay studios here at WGBW. Great to have you with me tonight. Hope you had a great weekend. Kind of a rainy weekend, but the temperatures were nice. Yesterday was beautiful, actually, up in the Marinette area where I live. Although it was weird because on the Civic Media chat, all I heard about were tornadoes and terrible weather. And we just didn't have any of that up here. What was it like here, Conrad? Green Bay wasn't too bad, was it?
It was a little rainy in the morning. After that, yeah. Sunshine.
Yeah, same. So hopefully, wherever you are in the state, you're safe and you did not sustain too much damage, whether it's just, even if it's not a tornado, wind can do some terrible things. But we're rolling here tonight. And, we should get Brittany on because I think there's more bad weather in various parts of the state coming up.
Oh, yeah, there is. We learned a little bit today on Mino and the Mayor when I produced the show this morning.
Oh, that's
Brittany
right.
Brittany was on, and yeah, she did say some bad weather is coming.
Give us a rundown. Paraphrase, if you would.
Do you want to give me the 10-day forecast from Conrad?
Let's see Conrad's 5-day forecast.
All right, well, it's sunny right now, so.
Yeah, I have a window, too. I can tell. We should get Brittany on, though. That's
yeah.
How are you doing? Did you have a good weekend?
I had a good weekend. Hung out with a friend that I haven't seen in a little bit in Appleton, so it was fun.
Nice. Did you hit the bars there or something?
We tried a new place out called Mr. Brew's Tap House in Appleton, and it was really good. Had a lot of beers on tap.
What if you're just making that up?
Why would I make that up?
What if you and this friend of yours have been robbing banks for like 8 years?
Oh, that reminds me. I did watch Imaginary Friend. Maybe that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, if?
I did watch it, though.
How was it?
For like, I don't know if it's supposed to be a kid's movie or not.
Well, I think it is.
It draws the line because it gets very depressing at some points.
Really?
Yes. That's, and then the meaning behind it is, yeah.
I have not seen that yet. I saw Inside Out 2. We'll discuss that in just a minute, but I'm glad you had a good weekend. I'm glad you're not robbing banks. That's not, that's good. That's good. Need it now money, but it's not sustainable. I don't think not in my experience, but based on what I've read or watched in TV and film. we have a good show tonight. Rob Thomas is here. And as always, I enjoy talking to Rob about movies and TV and some of the things he's written about on his Substack or at the Capital Times. He reviewed the film Bratz, and I read his review, and I agree with most of it, and I'm anxious to talk to Rob about it. I only watched about the first half, so I'm not totally qualified to agree or disagree with him, but mostly I agree, and I just think, I guess I don't know why it needed to be made, but there were some entertaining parts about it. And we'll talk, it's not just like a nostalgic trip, like some of these, and this is what Rob says in his review, it's not a nostalgic trip down memory lane or, oh, remember these movies when we were kids. It's kind of a guy settling a beef, which I thought was kind of strange and maybe not as interesting. Maybe it's okay to take a trip down memory lane and just say, hey, these were the good old days. Unless you have like a really killer point, which I don't know that Andrew McCarthy had, but, and then Roger Rappaport will be here at 8:35. Roger was on the show a few weeks ago talking, about his book, Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel. And he is a writer and a filmmaker and a journalist and a very good one. He's a very, very good at all three of those hats that he wears. So Roger is doing a book signing tomorrow on Washington Island at, I have to pull up all this information here because I have it written down. And sure enough, it's at the Fair Isle Books and Gifts. Fair Isle Books and Gifts tomorrow on Washington Island. Roger will be there signing his book about Patty Hearst. And there is a connection to Door County in this book and this crime that happened in California decades ago. So we'll talk to Roger about that at 8:35. Getting back to Rob Thomas, tonight's question is regarding the Brat Pack. And none of them really kind of came out as phenomenal actors. And it depends who you include in the Brat Pack. Is Tom Cruise part of the Brat Pack? If he is, well, then he's your most successful guy. You know, is Kevin Bacon? Yes and no, people say. I think the jury is out on that. But who is your favorite Brat Packer? Who's your most favorite? And who is your least favorite Brat Packer? That is tonight's question. Let's have some fun with this one. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Who is your least favorite Brat Packer and who is your most favorite Brat Packer? I think I would say my opinion has changed, but I think my most favorite is Emilio Estevez because he has a famous dad. There's a little nepotism there, but I thought he was a pretty good actor when he was young. And I think he kind of outgrew the whole Brat Pack thing. But I thought it was cool. In watching Bratz, his interview, Andrew McCarthy's interview with Emilio Estevez, I looked at Emilio Estevez and I was like, he doesn't want to be doing this. I think he's being a pal. I think Andrew McCarthy has this unhealthy obsession. He turned into a documentary. Not unhealthy, just kind of like an axe to grind a little bit. And I thought Emilio Estevez just seemed like a good guy. So he has catapulted himself to the top of my Brat Pack list. Or maybe Molly Ringwald, because she didn't want to do it. She's just like, let's let sleeping dogs lie. I don't need to do this. I don't need to go back. Those two might be in a tie for my favorite. My least favorite? Probably Judd Nelson. They say in the Brat Pack documentary that he kind of wanted to establish himself as the Marlon Brando of the group. I don't really see that. I don't even think he's that great of an actor. So he's probably my least favorite. Conrad, what do you know about the Brat Pack?
I know nothing, but I can tell you my favorite, not Brat Packer, but Packer.
Yeah, don't care. I hope you can tell me that. Well, let's do it. Who's your least favorite Packer?
I can't say.
You're too. You can't say, or you don't have one because
I don't have one. I just love all the Packers.
Too much of a homer. Oh my gosh. It's Mindy Kaling's birthday today. 45. She turns 45, and she is one of the most underrated Office ensemble members. She's also a writer, and I think eventually became an executive producer of the show. Very talented writer. Very talented actress. I would say pound for pound, and we might have talked about this, Mindy Kaling and maybe the guy who plays Toby, Paul Lieberstein, I think is his name, their on-screen time, minutes per laugh, those two might be, or Creed, those three might be my favorite, but Mindy Kaling, hilarious. She is hilarious. On The Office. I haven't seen her in much else, although I think she was in, she was just in a kid's movie. I think she was in Inside Out 1, maybe. Anyway, those are my thoughts on Mindy Kaling. We have an interesting day today, too. We always track the national days of the year, folks. We like to share them. On this weird equinox, summer solstice, weird moon, sun aligning, it just happens to be National Swim a Lap Day and National Lightning Safety Awareness Day. That's crazy. The stars have aligned. These two are happening on the same day. And this is so bizarre because, you know, you're not supposed to be in a pool when it's storming out, right? When there's lightning. Conrad didn't know that. He was just he was swimming a lap. He was trying to be a good citizen. He saw that it was National Swim a Lap Day, and he went out swimming this morning. Luckily, I saw him. Maybe not in time, but I think we should probably just go to the clip because this is crazy. It's National Swim a Lap Day coinciding with National Lightning Safety Awareness Day, folks. And this is what happened this morning. We got it all on tape. Go ahead.
Conrad, what are you doing in the pool?
It's National Swim a Lap Day.
Yeah, but it's also National Lightning Awareness Day. Awareness Day! Get out of there!
Ah! I mean, that it could have been much worse. Conrad?
Oh, Conrad, you there? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm here.
You're a little off today. You okay, buddy? Did the lightning get you?
I think it clipped me a little bit.
Just a little bit, though. You're lucky. You're lucky to be alive. Conrad?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. you're kind of taking a powder in your mind because of the lightning.
It's foggy.
You just can't do that. Folks, I cannot stress this enough. It is National Swim and Lap Day. For those of you that adhere religiously to the National Days calendar, you got to look at both, what's going on. You can't be out swimming during a lightning storm, and Conrad is evidence of that. He'll be okay, though. Glad you're okay, buddy.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Here's how I want to close the first segment of the show. I made a vow on this show about a week ago. I said I was going to see both Inside Outs before the end of the week. My goal was before the end of the show week. That didn't happen. But I did see both by the end of the technical week. I don't even know if that's a term. But I saw Inside Out on Friday night. My daughter and I watched it. And then we went to see Inside, because I hadn't seen it. And I wanted to see that one before I saw the second one. We went to see Inside Out 2 last night, and I was blown away. It was outstanding. And I'm going to say it maybe, I don't know where I'd put it right now. I'm still kind of digesting the film. In my top 25 all time. I absolutely loved it. Better than Inside Out 1, which is lovely. But this film was so good. And the same character in the first one is now going through puberty. And all of her emotions, just like in the first one, are characters in her brain. And they're hilarious. But now they throw in puberty and anxiety. It was so funny and so sweet. I might put it above Toy Story. I don't know. Anyway, great film. We'll talk more about it. We'll read some of your texts coming up next. Conrad's going to try to stay indoors, although it looks safe out there. You can never be too careful. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. More next on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it breaks my heart. When it did, I fall. You all right, man?
I'm okay.
All right. Just do your best. Get through the show. I made an appointment at the doctor for you. He specializes in, not so serious lightning strikes. So we'll see what happens.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So just as we were talking about weather a few minutes ago, I'm reading the chat on the Civic Media General chat, and there is dark, foreboding weather in the Madison area, supposedly. Catherine Lake, the program director here at Civic Media, posted a picture. Looks like it's rolling in. Savannah Tomei Olson also said she's married to a meteorologist. Hey, we got to have her on, She's maiden name, Tomei. I understand. I found this out through someone at Civic Media. She's related to Marissa Tomei. So we should have her on to talk to her about that connection. Did you get that? Conrad?
Memo? I'll write it down.
Folks, he was partially struck by lightning this morning. He's doing the best he can. We just got to get through the show. And if those of you just tuning in, we'll play the clip again. It was a very near miss. It's National Swim a Lap Day and National Lightning Awareness Week, apparently. So it did not work out. Conrad only read like half the memo, and he only got the swim lap thing. He's a good citizen. He was doing like as was expected of him, and that just happened. So I was talking about, so wherever you are, folks, and be careful in Wisconsin, be careful because the weather is kind of topsy-turvy in various parts of the state. Like, it's beautiful here right now in Green Bay, but we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in other areas of the state that there's no flash flooding. There are no tornadoes. Stay safe wherever you are. And tonight's question is, who is your least favorite Brat Packer? Who is your most favorite Brat Packer? I said Molly Ringwald and Emilio Estevez were tied for number one for me. Judd Nelson was my least favorite. And Conrad just likes all the Packers, Brat, be they Brat or sports. And Sherry from Oregon says, Frank Sinatra. He was not a Brat, Sherry. You know that. She went old school, actual Rat Packer, which the name Brat Pack was taken from. Obviously, it was a parody. Sherry says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Great to have you with us, Sherry, on this Monday night. Hope you're safe where you are and the weather's okay. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Brat Pack is Molly Ringwald. And from 16 Candles, of course. And my least favorite Brat Packer is Judd Nelson. We are cut from the same cloth, Anna. I could not agree more. And you forget, 16 Candles might have been one of the best comedies of the 80s. It still holds up. They can't play the whole movie. They block out so much of it now, it's not even fair, which I don't totally agree with. Maybe some of the stuff, but I just, you know, I don't know. It's tough. I'm scared to say anything because you don't want to, like, I feel like people are too sensitive now with comedy, but sometimes, you know, there's, well, I'll leave it at that. Let's keep going with the text, shall we? Conrad, you still with me?
So what doctor did you get?
He's a lightning doctor. He specializes in lightning strikes for those who are swimming and didn't read the entire list.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you'll be okay. We'll get you over there in time. Sherry says, most favorite. Sherry's going to stick with Sinatra. That's okay, Sherry. I don't blame you. He's probably the best Rat or Brat Packer. And I agree with you too, Anna. Judd Nelson just, you know, I think he was like trying to be, he always seemed like he was trying to be brooding. You know, there's some actors when they do it, it just comes naturally. Sean Penn, Marlon Brando, but Judd Nelson always looked like he was acting to me. I don't know. So I'm with you. Catherine says, Madison is about to be walloped. Catherine Lake from the 773 says Madison is about to be walloped. Keep us distracted. Well, Catherine, I don't know if you heard, Conrad got struck by lightning today. So he's a little off. It's a crazy Monday. There must be a full moon. I don't know what is going on. We'll do our best. We'll keep you apprised of the weather. But it sounds like Catherine from her balcony should be keeping the rest of us apprised.
I wouldn't recommend swimming out there.
You know, buddy, that's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, I appreciate that you share that.
But it's National Swim a Lap Day. You have to swim a lap.
And we've got Catherine giving updates from her balcony. We've got an actual cousin of or long-distance friend of Marissa Tomei, whose husband is a weatherman, giving us tips. We got you covered, folks, here tonight on Nightlight. And Sherry with the sweet emoji. Oh, and on the stream, Craig Anthony, that says, Andrew McCarthy is my least favorite. How did I miss that? How did I say Judd Nelson? I want to change mine. Yeah, Andrew McCarthy, to me, he made the worst movies. And it seems like he's trying to blame other people now for that. He made Mannequin, Weekend at Bernie's, Mannequin 2. I want to say there was a second Weekend at Bernie's, which how ripe was that corpse by a sequel? Craig says, so whiny, Judd Nelson is probably the fave. Oh, he likes Judd Nelson. Okay. We can agree to disagree. He says, oddly, Molly Ringwald would be on the bottom of the list for me. Craig has been on the show. He and I are at polar ends. We are polar opposites when it comes to the Brat Pack. I can't talk tonight. Conrad, I feel like I was swimming a relay with you or something when the lightning hit the pool.
You were kind of close.
I was trying to get you out of the pool. Yeah. I was trying to save you.
you should have just let me.
No. Who's going to produce the show? And I mean, you know, I care about you too. Hi-yo! No. That's just silly. Okay, so Rob Thomas will be here at 7:35. We're going to talk about the Brat Pack. I loved his review. I love all of Rob's stuff in the Capital Times and on his Substack. check it out. And what else did I... So Inside Out 2, I cannot say enough about this movie. I also saw Bike Riders this weekend. The Bike Riders. You know, a good movie, fine for what it is. It's about a motorcycle club starting up in Chicago in the 1960s, and they end up becoming a full-blown biker gang. And it's Tom Hardy doing his best Marlon Brando. And what's the kid that played Elvis?
Austin Butler.
Austin Butler. And Jodie Comer. It was a good cast. Jodie Comer's great. And the guy from, I can never think of his name. I didn't even know who he was before Challengers, but he's in it too, like doing a documentary. It's okay. It's boring though. It's well done, but boring. And there are intense moments. And they talk about how, you know, the bikers of the 60s and 70s had class. And then these guys came back and it was about drugs and they had no morals. And it's like, well, you didn't really have morals before that, but they have worse morals. You know, it's kind of a 6½ dozen, but kind of a cool look. Tom Hardy looked cool, gritty. Austin Butler kind of looked too clean cut for me. And Jodie Comer was really good. But Inside Out 2, folks, I cannot say enough good things about this movie. And if you have a 13-year-old or a 14-year-old or a kid dealing with all these crazy emotions that happen to kids at that age, you're going to love this movie. It's so sweet and so good. And I know now why it is crushing. They say it's going to overtake Barbie. It has the second highest, I think it has the highest second week box office take in the history of animated movies, the 7th overall second week take. So there's not much drop off. Rob Thomas, ladies and gentlemen, is coming up next. You will not want to miss our talk about the Brat Pack and summer movies and all the fun things Rob and I talk about. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you with me.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Schwabba.
So, Catherine from the 773 says, Madison is about to be walloped. Walloped. Yikes. Steve from the 920 says, most favorite Brat Pack is Rob Lowe because he can play serious and comedy roles. Least favorite is Judd Nelson because he is a true brat. He seemed to be ticked off about something all the time. I got distracted. Actually, I already read Catherine. This is the text I meant to read from Catherine from the 773. Lightning, no kidding around, zero wind, eerie. That is eerie. Remember when storms like that were kind of fun before you had the internet? Like, when you're just home on the prairie by candlelight, it didn't matter anyway. Now you could lose your internet. That's like the biggest fear in a storm like this. Other than Conrad swimming on National Swim a Lap Day and National Lightning Awareness Day. Steve also says, Paula and I watched Inside Out before your show tonight and thought it was pretty good. We haven't really watched a good animated movie in a while, and now we're looking forward to seeing Inside Out 2. Did I say In and Out?
In and Out and In and Out 2. There we go.
No, it's Inside Out. In and Out is like the Kevin Kline movie. I don't have my glasses. That's the problem.
I thought I was the one with a foggy mind tonight.
You have a foggy mind. I don't have my glasses, so we're going to do our best here. Okay, so coming up at 8:35, Roger Rappaport, author, journalist, and filmmaker, will join the show to talk about his book signing for his book, Patty Hearst, A True Crime Story, that's in Washington Island, on Washington Island, tomorrow in Door County. He'll join us at 8:35. Right now, joining us on the stream from Erie, Zero Wind Madison, and maybe he can give us a weather update too, is the phenomenal writer for the Capital Times, their entertainment reporter, Rob Thomas. Rob, how are you?
I'm good, Pete. Should I stand outside and give one of those TV weather reports where it's like driving rain and I'm being whipped around back and forth?
Have you ever seen like on those news bloopers where they have a woman in a canoe? I think I saw it. She was like in a canoe doing a weather report to show how bad it is. And while she's giving the report, two dudes walk by behind her and the rain is like it's ankle like, deep.
That's right.
One of my all time, you can't write TV stuff magic. Like that.
That's right. That was classic.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. You having a good summer so far?
Yeah, except for, you know, I didn't know a storm was coming tonight. I've sort of given up trying to predict. We had a show Saturday in Madison that got wiped out, the Pixies and Modest Mouse, because of a big storm. It's like,
oh no,
there's no gentle summer rain anymore. It's like monsoons every time they hit.
Yeah. And you guys are like, that part of the state is getting the worst of it, I would say, so far this summer by far.
And usually we get missed by these, but yeah, I think we're just kind of getting one after the other.
Yeah. Well, you have the perfect job, Rob, for bad weather, because you just get to watch stuff and write about it.
Indoor kid. Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah. All you need is your colored television and you're off to the races.
Yeah.
Hey, I really enjoyed your article about Bratz, and you kind of made me look at it in different ways. Now, I only saw half of it, but you seem to kind of support Andrew McCarthy and what he was trying to do, or thought it was at least a refreshing take on the nostalgic trip down memory lane. Am I getting that right, would you say?
Yeah, because I you talked about the show, but you know, this is a documentary about the Brat Pack by Andrew McCarthy, who was a card-carrying member of the pack. He was in Pretty in Pink and St. Elmo's Fire. And so I think a lot of Gen Xers thought when this documentary premiered on Hulu that it'd be like, oh, be nostalgic, and he'll talk to his old castmates. Instead, he's pretty bitter about particularly about the name Brat Pack and being lumped in with, you know, the Judd Nelsons and the Rob Lowe's and the Demi Moore's of the world. I think he thought himself a serious New York actor. And so the whole documentary is him going to visit, you know, all these, at least many of these people who will talk to him. I get the sense there are some burned bridges here and there. Right. You don't see Molly Ringwald. You don't see Anthony Michael Hall. Judd Nelson seems to be playing phone tag with him through the entire movie. And like going to these stars, like multi-million dollar homes.
Yeah.
And being like, wasn't it awful that we were called the Brat Pack? And they're like, no, I mean, look around you, and, you know? And so I thought that was, a lot of people were turned off by that. I thought it was fascinating because first of all, you often don't see a celebrity allowing yourself to look that bad on screen, like, you know, like sort of self-important and kind of, and frankly, deluded, I think.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, being part of the Brat Pack was a huge boon to his career, at least in the short term.
Right.
And then secondly, to me, it's like his attitude about it is very much what I remember about Gen X, which is very cynical, sincere, kind of self-important in a certain way. And I mean that lovingly as a member of that generation.
Same.
Yeah. And he kind of refuses to play the game and be like, you know, kind of all gauzy and nostalgic about it. So it was a much more interesting documentary than I thought it was going to be. Although sometimes unintentionally, let's say.
Yeah. You know, I think from a directorial standpoint, I didn't like those first shots of him in the car. I'm like, you're the director. You couldn't carve out time to properly, you know, that gives you the idea that, oh, this guy's on the go and he's busy and this is the only way they could get an interview with him. It's like, well, you're the director. And then he keeps so many fast cuts and he's laughing constantly after everything he says. He was kind of annoying in it, I thought. And to the point, Rob, where I thought, and I talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show, Emilio Estevez, at least, comes off looking like a pretty good guy. Like he truly looked like he was kind of throwing a bone to Andrew McCarthy. He didn't need to do that, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think, I mean, the there's like tension in their interview. Like,
yeah.
Like some of the other ones are a little more warm and fuzzy, but like, that one, they're like standing. There's like a kitchen counter between them. I got the sense there was maybe bad blood between them going back 30 years. It was interesting. It didn't seem like he'd ever talked to these people since 1985, right. Which is strange to me. Like,
yeah.
He wouldn't like sort of catch up. But it was just kind of interesting, especially all the different reactions. Like, Demi Moore is basically his therapist. I thought she was I had my esteem for her just rose because she's so thoughtful and introspective about, like, you know, okay, you get dealt a bit of a shot by the media. How do you respond to that? And she's taken quite a few shots over her career, I think. And,
yeah.
And Rob Lowe is just super happy-go-lucky and you know, sort of like his Parks and Recreation character, and just right. kind of happy to be there. And I was so, somebody who, you know, really liked The Breakfast Club, it was so great to see Ally Sheedy. I hadn't seen her on screen in decades, and she seems like she's really happy and well-adjusted. The only one who isn't is the guy making the movie, which is so funny to me. And then, so you haven't seen what I think is the best part, which is, at the end of the movie, he confronts the writer of that article who coined the term Brat Pack.
Oh, I read about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, Andrew McCarthy's not even mentioned in the article, or barely mentioned. It's about so it's like, why are you so upset about this? But like, to me, that's, other people might find that a turnoff. I just find that so fascinating. Like, it's just that thing that happened, like when you're in high school or college, you just can't let go, even though everybody else has forgotten about it. And it was like a minor thing at the time, but he just cannot let it go.
It's like the kid who's trying to be popular to get himself in with the popular kids. He's saying, "Do you believe the principal's coming after us, popular kids? We got to stick together." And they're like, "Who are you?" I don't know.
Right. So Well, that was another thing with the movie, was like, he would say, like, you know, the tabloids and the media would say that we all went out partying together, and that's just not true. And then Rob Lowe was basically like, "No, it's true. You just weren't there. You weren't part of the inner circle who did go to, Spago, whatever they were in the '80s. I don't know.
He was like the only one who lived in New York. And also to that, I'll say, you know, no one forced him to do Mannequins 1 and 2 and Weekend at Bernie's 1 and 2. I made a joke about that last week in my Hollywood Beats, and then I read your review today, and I saw we both, like, how do you not go after that? Like,
right,
you're the
right.
one bringing the curve down, bud.
Somehow did mention that in his documentary, that those were his next projects after, the stage work he did in New York or whatever.
And that was the first thing that came to mind, too, is because he ripped on Pretty in Pink. At the time, he said, "I just didn't think it was interesting." I'm like, again, Weekend at Bernie's and Mannequin. Right. Like, you can't do that, you know?
Yeah. And then somebody mentioned in my comment, this thing, I wrote this for Substack. It was by far got the biggest reaction of anything I've written on my Substack, which was really cool. I got a lot of comments. Somebody mentioned, it's interesting that he hates the term Brat Pack, since he called his movie Brats.
Yeah.
And his memoir is called Brats. So it's like, he can't be that upset. Even he, on some subliminal level, knows that's what he's known for. And so he's willing to trade on that. So it's an interesting, I think I said in my thing that like he's like an Alexander Payne character.
Yes, come to life. Did. That was, you know, very like, funny.
So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really, yeah.
When I first saw your article, I thought it was about bratwurst, Rob. I'm not going to lie.
I can't. And I got excited. Brat. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that documentary still needs to be made, though. That's the
right. It'll probably be, and Andrew McCarthy should make it and be the central character, I think.
And he hates brats, and he just walks in like, "Why did they make?"
He confronts the entire Johnsonville family.
There you go,
over their kitchen counter. My guest is Rob Thomas, the writer for the Capital Times, the entertainment reporter, and check out his Substack. Google Rob Thomas, not that Rob Thomas Substack. He does great work there. Yeah, you got a lot of comments on this article. Our question tonight, Rob, is your favorite Brat Packer and your least favorite. Assuming, since you're a journalist, maybe you don't have a favorite or least favorite, but do you have a maybe least insignificant, most significant, something you could comment on?
Well, part of it is like, who's actually in the Brat Pack?
Yeah.
Would Michael J. Fox be in the Brat Pack? I mean, Tom Cruise? I mean, there's that generation where it's like, I sort of think of the hard Brat Pack is like the cast of Breakfast Club overlapping with the class of St. Elmo's Fire. And in that case, I would say, I mean, I always really liked Anthony Michael Hall. I thought he was really funny in that, and the John Hughes movies, and then Ally Sheedy, I think, is just great. And
yeah,
and my esteem rose when I saw what a good place she's in today.
She, to me, not just her, but she seemed like a real actress to me. Like, a lot of, some of those guys seem like they were kind of mugging a lot, posing. Judd Nelson. I think Anthony Michael Hall's a really good actor in the films I've seen him in. Would you call him a Brat Packer? I would.
Yeah, I would, because he was in, I'd say anybody in the Breakfast Club probably I would put in there. And plus, I think John Hughes movies kind of started the whole thing. It was like it was those movies that Hollywood was like, oh, we've got this great, huge youth audience we can tap into with these young stars. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and he was in Weird Science and 16 Candles and Breakfast Club, of course. So I think, yeah, I definitely, whether he wants to be or not, I would put him in the Brat Pack.
What about Tom Cruise?
I don't think so, because even his movie, like, I mean, aside from Risky Business, which, I mean, is such a fantasy of a teen movie. Like, it's not, you know, obviously not realistic to open a brothel in your house when your parents are away to raise money for college or whatever the plot of that movie.
Wait a minute, what? Okay.
Isn't that the plot of Risky Business, or am I crazy?
I misinterpreted it, but maybe. That sounds even better, actually.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a while. but, like, I don't think he was in, like, teen movies that much other than that. Maybe All the Right Moves was another early one. But
oh, I like that
pretty
movie.
Quickly, yeah.
Yeah.
But pretty quickly he was doing Top Gun and Days. You know, he was sort of, he sort of transcended that teen thing, I think. So I don't think I would put him in there.
I think part of it with those guys, too, is they were just on another level, and that comes across in their performances. Like, even Tom Cruise in a smaller role in Outsiders had this intensity when he talked.
Yeah.
It's undeniable. And Emilio Estevez is a good actor. You know, Molly Ringwald is fine, but I don't know that they had that, could go to that other level and naturally stand out. My guest is Rob Thomas. We are talking about the documentary Brats that you can see on Hulu. And coming up next with Rob, I'm going to ask him what he thinks his overall opinion of Andrew McCarthy's acting ability. You will not want to miss that. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, so we've been talking about the weather, and Conrad, do we have Corey?
Yes, we do.
Okay, there's severe weather, but instead of listening to me and Conrad, who was struck by lightning earlier in the day, may or may not have been, let's go to the professionals. Civic Media's Corey Hartman joins us now here on Nightlight. Hey, Corey.
Hey, Pete, how's it going?
Better here than where you are, as I understand it. How are things down near Madison?
Yeah, we just had a severe storm kind of roll through the Sauk County, Baraboo area. It's now affecting Portage, that's Columbia County, and also the Madison area, a severe thunderstorm warning currently going on. That's going to be in effect until about 8:15 for some storms with some pockets of 60-mile-per-hour winds.
Whoa.
And maybe up to quarter-size hail, although we haven't really seen any of that being reported as of yet.
Yikes. Are you guys at the point in those areas where people should stay? I mean, I assume they would stay inside anyway, even for a severe thunderstorm, but how dangerous is it right now?
So again, you know, 60-mile-per-hour winds, that'll toss some lawn furniture around, maybe move the trampoline a little bit into the neighbor's yard. it's nothing crazy. It's not the big threat that we were talking about earlier today. That is still yet to develop up near the Twin Cities area. We're starting to see some signs that we could get some development up there. And if it does form like we expect, it'll basically move right down I-94 throughout the overnight period. So this is just a little reminder that it is summertime in Wisconsin, and this storm kind of went rogue here and started actually a little bit earlier than expected. And again, pockets of 60-mile-per-hour gusts are possible. Now, I do have one other interesting thing that is going on is that there is a National Weather Service data outage going on. So some of the warnings are not making it to people's phones. Some of the warnings are not making it to services that you can sign up for, like Nixle. And some radar apps are not updating tonight. So that's happening all the way out in Silver Spring, Maryland at the National Weather Service NOAA headquarters. So kind of an interesting thing. We're having to use some backup sources and direct links to the National Weather Service to even get the word out here tonight.
And get the word out on the old-fashioned, old-school radio network.
Right.
Another
part to the fun here tonight is we did have a severe thunderstorm watch that is now in effect until 1 a.m. For the Madison area over toward the Waukesha vicinity. So Madison to Waukesha does not include the city of Milwaukee just yet, but does include Racine, Kenosha. So that's kind of the area. And that's where this line that has kind of popped up. They're saying winds to 75 are possible as we get a little bit later into the evening, and maybe up to 2-inch diameter hail. And of course, always an isolated tornado is possible. So that's for the southeastern portion of Wisconsin until 1 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, if you're listening in those areas, folks, wherever you are in the state, take cover. I mean, play it safe. Why take chances, right, Corey?
That's right. That's right. And we'll of course have more information throughout the evening here, so you can keep it on the Civic Media Radio Network and download that app and make sure you can listen to us. If for some reason the over-the-air tower does happen to blip off, we can still get you with our audio stream on the Civic Media app.
I appreciate it. Great work, my friend. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for letting me on, Pete.
You bet. Anytime. That's Corey Hartman. He'll be back if we have any more breaking news regarding weather. If you are in those areas of the state, though, stay safe. Up by the Twin Cities, the worst is yet to come, apparently. Still bad weather pending. And then Madison to Waukesha and into southeastern Wisconsin, possible 70 to 75 miles per hour wind gusts and 2-inch hail until 1 a.m. this morning. So don't be a hero. Stay inside. That's Corey Hartman, Civic Media's own Corey Hartman, doing a great job. Right now, we are going to turn our attention back to something I don't know if I would call it equally as important, but important in its own right. We're educating Conrad on the Brat Pack, something that happened before his time. He's a step slow tonight anyway because of the whole lightning thing, which now I feel bad for joking about after listening to Corey, you know? So maybe we got to tone that down, Conrad.
Yeah.
All right. Is Rob still with us?
Still here.
Rob's being a champ. Thanks for hanging with us, Rob. Appreciate that.
You betcha.
And yeah. Hopefully you got something useful out of that and you're not outside your deck.
That's right. I did chain down my trampoline.
I was just going to say, if you were doing seat drops on your trampoline when you heard Corey say that would be a freak out face on Rob. So, Rob, what is your, we were talking about the Bratz, the documentary on Hulu that you wrote about in your Substack today. Great work as usual, or actually a couple days ago. Where do you put Andrew McCarthy's, in general, Bratz aside, how do you rank his acting ability?
I mean, he's fine. Like, I think part of it is like he sort of played these kind of nice guy, sort of whiny-ish roles. And like,
yeah,
you know, like he just didn't really pop the way like all five of those people in The Breakfast Club did. And I think people who even love Pretty in Pink wildly believe that he shouldn't have gotten Molly Ringwald at the end, that John Cryer should have got her. So, you know, he was sort of a sensitive guy heartthrob, I guess, at the time. But, like, yeah. Didn't really, you know, it wasn't until he was propping up a dead guy in Weekend at Bernie's that I think he really saw the range of his talents.
Even the funniest moment in Weekend at Bernie's is when he and Jonathan Silverman, I think was his co-star, they were running to make a ship. And they ran and jumped off the pier onto the ship. And they were like, oh, this boat is docking. And everybody saw them acting like idiots. But that's like an old Buster Keaton gag. Like, that's not even.
I like that.
I did too. It was funny, but it wasn't even like an original gag, you know?
Right.
Who do you think, Rob, came out of the Brat Pack smelling like a rose? You know, and you can include Fringe members as well.
Well, I mean, of the core, I can't think Demi Moore was the one who kept working pretty steadily.
Yeah.
Since, don't you think? Like, she started making some good movies, and I mean, she just had one at Cannes this year, I think, like a horror movie. So, like, of them, and then, like I said, we watched that movie. She just seems like a really cool person. Like, she really, seemed like she has thought, you know, she's probably written a book. I don't know. But like, she has really thought through the crazy life she's had and come away with some pretty interesting life lessons. So she's the one I really have the highest amount of respect for.
I would say if you take Fringe members out, she's arguably the most successful of them too.
I would say, well, Rob Lowe maybe now. He's sort of, you know, but she pretty steadily all the way through. Yeah.
I don't think he's a great actor. I thought she was a really good actor. She was great in About Last Night. You know, I mean, she's a solid actress too. Can you hang for a few minutes, Rob? I'd like to make up that time with. Okay. Rob Thomas is here from the Capital Times and the Not Rob Thomas Substack. You got to check both of, check out his work at both places. We'll talk more Bratz, and I'm going to ask him about the new film Thelma that he saw that I did not get to see. That's coming up next on Nightlight. Stay tuned for the crack news squad here at Nightlight at Civic Media. Sorry, we'll be back with more Nightlight in a couple of minutes.